Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
I want to share with you real quickly a scripture, a message simply entitled, "There is joy in this place." Now, I want to ask you to say that statement with me out loud this morning. There is joy in this place. Now, when I say there is joy in this place, I'm not just meaning the assembly. I don't mean just the address of this church. What I mean is there's joy in every place that your life would take you. You know, every time we preach the Word of God, I hope you are picking up on this. Hope you've thought about this before. Why do we preach the Word of God? Why should I read the Word of God personally? Why should I have any interest at all in what the Word of God says? Here's the reason. Because there's a lot of lies in the world today. And when we read the Word of God exposes truth to us that confronts and exposes the lie that many people believe. And this morning, there's a lie in the world today. Maybe you've even believed it yourself. There's a lie in the world today that says joy is dependent on the place that I'm in. Our joy is dependent on the season I'm in. Our joy is dependent on how I'm feeling. Our joy is dependent on how things look or how I feel. But we're going to discover this morning that no matter where you are in life, you can boldly declare and experience there's joy in that place. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to meet a guy who, if there's ever a person that had a reason not to feel joy or experience joy, it had to be the Apostle Paul. We're reading from Philippians chapter 1. So he's reading. There's certain scriptures, certain books in the Bible that's called prison epistles. And the reason they're called that is because they were written from prison. And so from prison, Paul writes these words. "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God." He's given thanks in prison. "Whenever I pray, I make my request," listen to this, "for all of you with joy. For you've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard of it until now. And I'm certain that the God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. So it's right that I should feel as I do about you, for you have a special place in my heart. For you share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you, for you with tender compassion of Christ. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep growing in the knowledge and the understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives in the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Christ Jesus, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that's happened to me here in prison has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out jealously and envy and rivalry, but others preach Christ with good motives. They preach because they love me and they know that I've been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives if they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerity, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter whether their motives are false or genuine. The message about Jesus is being preached either way. So here he goes again. "So I rejoice." And then he says it again, "And I will continue to rejoice, for I know as you pray for me, the Spirit of Christ Jesus helps me, and that this will lead to my deliverance." We're going to cover a couple more of the scriptures when we get through the points of the message. But let's just stop right there and ask God to speak to us this morning. And I especially want to pray for every one of you in this room that maybe you walked in today, and you're convinced that because of the place you're in, physically, spiritually, financially, relationally, maybe you've been convinced that the place you're in today is separating you from God's joy. I want you to know that that does not have to be the case, and it should not be the case for you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer over that thought this morning. Father, I'm thankful for your word, which never returns void, but it always goes forth to accomplish what you meant for it to accomplish. And I pray that's exactly what will happen this morning, that your word will work in me and that your word will work in this church. Father, we know we can do absolutely nothing without you, so we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit that comes for preaching the word of God to come upon me now. Lord, also, Lord, give us the help that comes for hearing the word of God to every one of us this morning, that we can hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And we'll give you thanks for it, and we'll respond to what the Spirit tells us to respond. And everyone in the room said amen. So Paul writes Philippians. Now, just in case you're wondering, Philippians has been described by a lot of people as the happiest book in the New Testament. The most joyous book in all of God's word is called Philippians. He talks more about joy and rejoicing in this book than any other book in God's word, and yet is written from a prison cell. And so Paul is in prison. Matter of fact, Paul spent 6 years of his life in prison. Not for doing something wrong. How many know it's painful if you go to jail because you did something wrong? But what's even got to be more painful is that when you go to jail for doing something right. Paul is in jail not because he did something wrong, but because he did something right. Just because he was preaching the word of God. Just because he was letting people know there is hope for your life and beyond this life. He was just doing what God put in his heart to do. And yet he finds himself in jail. This has to be a joyless place. As a matter of fact, someone said a few moments ago, without my prompting, I began to ask, where are places that are devoid of joy? And someone said jail. Someone said prison. And yet we find that Paul is in the very place that all of us would say, yeah, that would not be an exciting place to be. And he says, I rejoice and I will rejoice again. I just want to tell you, there's going to be some times in your life and my life where we spend the night in a place or two. And I'm not talking about a cruddy motel. I'm talking about places in life where we have to stay a night or two or a month or two, even a year or two there, that on the outside we would say there's no reason to be joyous about what I'm going through. But I want you to know that you can discover the joy of God in those places too. Amen. You can have joy beyond what you're going through today, beyond the place of your life today. And you may be wondering, Pastor, how on earth is that possible for me? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've lost. You don't know who betrayed me. You don't know what I don't have. And you don't know what I used to have. And there's a lot of things I don't know. But here's a few things that I do know that God can use to bring joy to every season of our life and every place of our life. Here's the first thing I know is that no matter where you are, understand that you're never in that place alone. Philippians says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. You know, it's natural that in lonely places and hard places that we feel alone. It's easy when things are hard for us to start thinking more about ourselves and our misery and our difficulty to the point that we forget about other people and other difficulty. And Paul combated that, but he began to pray for other people. He began to think of all those others that had helped him. And as he thought of others, he realized, you know what? I'm not in this thing by myself. There are other people who are praying for me, who are with me, who are helping me. And yet Paul says, in this lonely place, I don't feel alone. How many would think that handcuffs can make you feel alone? Jail cells can make you feel alone. The enemy, I've discovered that the enemy will do some things to make you feel alone. Even if you're not in a physical jail, if you get a certain diagnosis from the doctor, that can be a lonely place. If you get in financial difficulty, that can be a lonely place. If you've been betrayed by a family member, that can be a lonely place. There are many places in this life that can make you feel alone. But I want to tell you today, when you encounter the places and circumstances of life, you've got to remember that you're not alone. You know, this past week I was at the Options Pregnancy Banquet. And if you didn't get to go to that this year, I would just challenge you, put it on your radar for next year. Miss Vicky is a part of our church who leads that, and she'll be happy to make you get you a seat at the table there. And I was listening to her speak about Options, which, if you're not familiar with that, is one of the premier life-providing sources of life for children in our area. And I heard Vicky say this past Monday night. She said, you know what? She said, I'm so encouraged by seeing all of you here this this afternoon. She said, because sometimes when you're serving God and you're in the middle of something, you feel like you're alone. Sometimes you feel alone when you're serving God. Your quietness in that moment worries me. Because sometimes I feel like we have this theology in our head that says, well, if I'm serving God, it's always going to be joyful and easy. It's not always going to be joyful. And the circumstances are not always going to be easy. But you can have joy in the middle of those circumstances that seem devoid of joy if you'll keep your eyes on the Lord. Elijah had moments like that. Paul could have had a moment like that, but instead, in the middle of that place, he began to pray for others. And he realized that I'm not alone, and he realized that God is with him as well. Here's the second way to have joy in every place is to reassure yourself that God finishes what he starts. Would you say this with me out loud this morning? God finishes what he starts. Let's say it again. God finishes what he starts. Now, did you notice when Paul said those words? When Paul said, God always finishes what he starts, he wasn't talking to himself. He was actually talking to someone else. And yet, by encouraging someone else, it had to encourage himself. That if God's going to finish what he starts in your life, then God's going to finish what he starts in my life too. I can have joy in any circumstance because, friends, I can know this, that the God who started me on this road is going to be God that finishes on this road. You know, Megan, when she was teaching school, part of her job was to give assessments to children. She was a special ed teacher, and she would go in and she would test children. And then she would give the results to their parents, and she would say, your child needs to work on this, or your child needs to work on that. And, of course, you know, we all, as a parent, we all want someone in Megan's position. We want the school assessor to come back and tell us, your child is off the charts. They're going to be the next Albert Einstein. And, you know, you just stop teaching them so much, your child is too brilliant. But that's not always the news she had to give. Sometimes she had to give news that, you know, hey, your child needs to improve in speech, or your child needs to improve in handwriting, or whatever. She would kind of give these things. And sometimes parents would be distraught. Some parents have guilt. If their kid's not exactly where they think they ought to be, I must not be a good parent or whatever. And so sometimes Megan's job would go from assessing children to encouraging parents, counseling parents. And I've heard her say this over the phone as I was eavesdropping on her conversations, which I do from time to time. I've heard her say to more than one parent, now understand that this is just a snapshot. It's just a picture of where your child is now. It's not a limitation to where they can be in a year from now or in the future. And one of the reasons we can maintain our joy is understanding no matter where you are now, that's just where you are now. That doesn't mean that's where your life has to end or you have to camp out and spend your life there. I would say this, make up your mind today that if you're in a joyless circumstance, that I'm just passing through, that I'm not going to camp out here. Amen. Stop camping out in places that are devoid with joy. Instead of saying, this is where I'm going to finish the race, say, this is where I'm going to pass through to finish the race. You're not going to have joy in a lot of places if I understand I'm not here to live, I'm here to pass through. You ever driven through Kansas on your way to California? Whew, thank God I don't have to live in Kansas. But I don't mind. I have joy even driving through that place because I'm just passing through. If you're from Kansas this morning, forgive me. But rest assured, you know, Psalms 38 or 138 says this. And let's say this scripture out loud together. Is it on the screen? It is on the screen. Awesome. Let's say this together. On your mark, set, go. The Lord will fulfill his purposes in me. Amen. I find encouragement in all that scripture, especially those first few words, that the Lord will fulfill his purpose in me. When I find myself like Paul finds himself in a prison cell where there's nothing to shout about, nothing to sing about, if you're just looking at the Palladiums, he can have joy. And friends, you can have joy when you understand that the Lord will fulfill his purposes in me no matter what place I'm in. This brings me to my third point, is to take advantage of the current place you're in. Paul is in a joyless place if you're looking on the surface, if you're looking at the circumstances. And yet Paul didn't let this place stifle his growth or his ministry. Sometimes we get convinced. Now listen, I'm going to hit some of you right between their two front teeth this morning, so hang on. Sometimes we get convinced that the place we're in is somehow robbing us of our purpose from God. But I want you to know this morning that the purpose of God is transcendent of every place you're in. Paul didn't spend his 6 years in prison praying, Lord, if you'll get me out of here, I'm going to do something for you. Or Lord, if you'll get me through this, then I'll do something for you. Instead, he said, Lord, I'm in prison, and therefore I'm going to do something for you. See, sometimes we get robbed of our joy because we get this idea that the only way my life can ever have purpose is if I get out of my current circumstance. And yet Paul just said, I'm going to have joy and I'm going to have purpose in my circumstance. Did you know you can have joy and purpose in your circumstance too? No matter what it is, purpose transcends the placement of God. I'm so thankful that Paul didn't say, well, I'm in prison, so I'll just sit on my hands and eat the free food and wait till someone remembers me and maybe I'll get out and then I'll do something for God. But instead of spending that 6 years with that mindset, he spent his 6 years doing what he could, encouraging believers, writing letters like the one we read this morning. I begin to think about if Paul would have taken the attitude that sometimes I take, and maybe sometimes you take, that, well, I'm in such a hard place, I can't do anything for God. What if Paul would have taken that approach? Then we would be missing certain scriptures like Philippians chapter 4 that says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That scripture would have never been written if Paul would have taken the attitude that I can't serve God while I'm in this place. Philippians chapter 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known for God. We wouldn't have that instruction if Paul would have said, well, I'm in a place that God can't use me. Ephesians chapter 6 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities. And listen, we wouldn't have that promise or that reality if he would have said, God can't work in me. Here. Colossians reminds us that when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ and forgave you of your sins. We wouldn't have that assurance if Paul would have said, this place is so hard, God can't use me. No, Paul didn't let the place of God rob him of the purpose of God. And let me just encourage you. I mean, you got out of bed this morning, you came to church, so let me just kind of encourage you. You will spend some time in places you're pretty convinced is devoid of God's presence and devoid of God's purpose. And when you come to that reality in your life, let me tell you in that moment, you're wrong. God has purpose and joy for every place in this life. Every place. Every place. The message of our lives doesn't have to be derailed just because our life gets messy. Fourth this morning, how can I have joy in every place? Determined to undergo hard places. Realize that even hard places are opportunities to proclaim your faith. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul was writing, said, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here, speaking of prison, that joyless place, Everything that's happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Paul realized that this testing place was actually producing a testimony of Jesus through that place. It wasn't keeping him from being encouragement, from being a testimony. It was actually giving him an opportunity to be a testament. This past week or last week, Tommy invited me to come to the hospital. Many of you know Tommy lost his dad this past weekend, and we've been praying for him. But Tommy gave me the joy of meeting his dad last week. And Tommy, I appreciate that. And you know, your dad was in the hospital, and you told me, he said, Tommy told his dad, he said, "Dad, tell Pastor what you said to me a few minutes ago." And his dad, in ICU or whatever wing you call that, looked at me and he said these words, and he'd already said them to Tommy before I got there. "Maybe the Lord has someone for me to witness to in this place." I thought, wow. And what had to be one of the hardest times of that gentleman's life, he had his eyes open that maybe there's something God can do for me here. I'll tell you, Tommy, I saw joy in your dad's eyes. And I think part of that joy was because he knew that this is a hard place, but there's still something I can do for God. And friends, I want to tell you, I may not know everything about you, but I know this. In the place you're in today that maybe you've written off as being too hard, there is still something you can do for God in that place this morning. Amen? No matter how sick you are, how broke you are, how hurt you are, how upset you are, how bitter you are, there's something God can do through you. 1 Peter says this, that we got to be ready at all times to give an answer for the hope that we have inside of us. And you can do that when, fifth point this morning, is we learn to leverage the reality that the help of God is available to you. Listen to verse number 19. "For I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of God helps me, this will lead to my deliverance." Paul knew that though the prison had him locked in, it couldn't lock the power of God out. And you've got to understand today, in your hard place, though you may feel like you've been locked in some hard places this morning, your hard place has not locked out the power of God from helping you this morning. Jeremiah chapter 23 says, "Can a man hide in a secret place where I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth?" I'm just here to tell you, God can fill your lonely place. Paul had joy in a joyless place because even though these chains are on my wrist, and even though I'm surrounded by a prison cell, he knew that there was nothing that could keep the help of God from coming to him. I like another verse that Paul said later on. He said, "Though I'm in chains," he said this, "the gospel is not chained. The help of God is not chained." And I want to tell you this morning, the help of God is not chained from your life either. This leads me to point number 6 in closing. If you'll bow your heads this morning. Last thing I want to tell you is you can have joy when you realize that though your future may be unknown, it is secure. Paul went on to say, "For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is even better." Paul knew. He didn't know every step that was coming. He didn't know what was next. He didn't know exactly how God was going to deliver him, or even if God would deliver him. But he reminded his apprentice in 2 Timothy, he said, "This thing I do know. I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've entrusted to him." He can have joy, and you and I can have joy when we know that God can keep everything that we've entrusted to him. So in this closing moment this morning, you got your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you're here today, say, "Pastor, I'm in a hard place. I'm in a place where life is trying to steal my joy. I'm in a place where life is trying to keep me from experiencing the power of God and the help of God, I want you to know the place you're in today cannot steal the joy that God has for you in that place. In this moment, in a private moment of prayer, no one looking around, you say, Pastor, ask me today, I need the help of God. I need my joy restored. I need my joy secured. I need to know the help of God is available to me in this place as well. Would you just lift a hand real quick? Let me, Pastor, pray for me. Amen. 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 Who else today? Amen. Several around this room this morning. Here's what we're going to do. I've asked the worship team to come back, and we're going to sing this song, Fight My Battles Again, because we don't fight our battles like ordinary people. We read Ephesians a few moments ago, for our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces and evil and heavenly realms. But we do fight it because we know greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We know that there is a power available to us, and there is a joy that's available to us that far outweighs and supersedes the attacks of the enemy. And this morning, if you lifted your hand and you didn't, but you just say, Pastor, I need the joy of God in my life, or stronger in my life, or to return to my life. I need joy in this place or in this season I'm going through. In just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. If you lifted your hand, if you didn't, I would love to invite you, when everyone else stands, would you just stand up as well and come down front? And I would love the privilege of praying with you personally this morning, that you would experience joy even in the place you're in this morning. I believe God can give you new joy. I believe He can give you confidence that He's with you, that His presence can surround you in a place that seems completely forsaken by others. If you lifted your hand this morning, if you didn't, I'd love the chance to just say, hey, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to believe with you. And the rest of us, we're going to just focus on the Lord and worship and fight some battles through worship together today. But if you lifted your hand, I'd love to pray for you. So on the count of three, when everyone else stands, would you just find your way forward this morning as the rest of us worship? Amen? Let's stand together. You've already stood. I closed my eyes and you stood up. You cheated. I would love to pray for you this morning. Would you get out of your chairs this morning and come? I believe that God can give joy to those who have lost joy this morning. Amen? And the rest of us, we're going to sing together, and we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to fight some battles in prayer. Amen? Team, lead us today.
There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemy. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battle. There's a table. My weapon, I praise and thanks.
morning, as I was preaching, I kind of skipped over some stuff, which I often do. But one of the scenarios I wanted to bring to your attention from the Word of God is found with Elisha's story. Many of you know this story. He and his servant wake up one morning, and his servant comes in with a panic, and he says, "Hey, we are surrounded. The opposing armies have us surrounded. And it's just you and me." And Elisha just prayed a prayer. He said, "Lord," some of you know what he prayed, right? He said, "Lord, open his eyes that he could see." And he looked again, and surrounding those opposing armies was a greater army. It was the army of angels that was fighting on their behalf. Amen? You are never alone. The help of God is with you. I'll just give you a teaser. December the 8th, second Sunday of December, I'm preaching on coming home to God's care and the help we have in the Lord. Sometimes we feel like, I don't know if you got to go, but sometimes we feel like we're in the middle of two opposing equal forces. The battle and the help of God and the attacks of the enemy. I want to tell you, you are not in the middle of a battle between two equal and opposing forces. They are opposing forces, good and evil, God and the devil. They are opposing, but they are not equal. Now, some of you are looking at me like not nice. I said, we are not in the middle of two equal opposing forces. The kingdom of God is greater than the kingdom of the enemy. Amen? Hebrews chapter 1 said that God made Jesus momentarily a little lower than the angels. How do you know that the devil, all he is a fallen angel? But then he crowned him. He elevated him. He filled him with glory and honor and lifted him above, gave him a name that's above every name. We are not on equal ground today. We are in victorious ground. That's why the Word of God says, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. Because, listen, the devil and Jesus are not equals. Jesus is greater. He's greater, and he's in you. So any place on earth can be a victorious place for you, because greater is he that's in you than those that are surrounded you. So, Father, I pray this morning as we go our different ways, as we're going back home. Some of us are going home to the same place, the same circumstance. We're going back to work to the same place. And humanly speaking, it may seem just as devoid as joy as it was when we walked in this morning. But the thing is, Lord, we're walking in with something else. We're walking in with the joy of the Lord. We're walking in with the presence of God. We're walking in with a source of joy that is greater than the source of that place. It's Jesus. So I pray, Lord, I just pray today, as we walk out of this place, we'll walk with you. Because when we walk with you, any place can be a place of joy. Every place can be a place of purpose. Every place can be a place where you minister not just to us, but through us as well. So I pray that today that we'll walk in with the strength of God. And I pray all of us will walk out with a commitment to know you greater than we ever have before. And we'll give you thanks for that. We love you, Lord. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today?
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.